We see here in the scripture, this is Luke 2, the Christmas story. And we see that Jesus, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all my people." And that's exactly what we want to give to the world today, just good news. Just good news that's going to bring you joy in your life. We know there's some people who won't have hope, some people who just need some hope, and we want to give that to them this morning. So let's pray. Father, we pray that you may make us more like you. Help us to lean in just a little bit, Lord, this morning, and help us to just to hear from you, God. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. How about you look to your neighbor and say, "Hey, I'm glad you're here today." Look to your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, "You need a lot of church this morning. You need a lot of church this morning, my friend." Hope in unlikely places. And here's the main idea for the day, the talk. If you don't listen to everything I say, and if you kind of fall asleep in the next 25 minutes, here's the main idea. The main idea is that the local church, we as a local church, we're the primary a way that God shows the world that Jesus is for them. It's all on us. The local church is the hope of the world. It's what Jesus wants to use to make sure his glory is fulfilled in the world today. It's through us. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world today. And so if we want to let people know that Jesus can be born in their life and hope can be born in unlikely people and in unlikely situations, it depends on us. The local church is truly the hope of the world. It's on us. And honestly, it's a responsibility that we all should take with great caution and with great seriousness, that literally understanding that literally it depends on us. It's all about us. And so the question we want to ask ourselves today is that how can I be the hands and feet of Jesus extended to a broken world? So what I want to do, I want to look at a particular scripture that's really, it's my reset scripture. It's my scripture whenever, about every few months, I got to kind of reset myself and just reset my brain. And, you know, every now and then my phone needs to be a reset because it freezes every now and then. My computer messes up every now and then. It needs to be reset. And this is my personal reset scripture because truly, most scholars say this is truly the mission of Jesus. And truly, it's my prayer that I want to be like Jesus. And so every now and then when I'm getting a little negative about life and about my perspective of life and when I'm getting tired and when I'm getting unfocused, I read this scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." And this is my favorite part, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is Jesus. He's in a synagogue and he picks up this scroll. And I love this passage of scripture because truly it's Jesus speaking on Jesus. It's Jesus' mission. It's his heartbeat. This is why he's there. And this is why the Spirit of God has come upon his life so that he can proclaim good news to the poor. And so that he can proclaim freedom to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and so that he can set the people who are oppressed free. This is what he has come to do. And so in other words, and so when we see Jesus speaking this, whenever we see a passage like this and the mission of Jesus proclaimed, we got to ask ourselves, our prayer should always be, "Lord, make me like Jesus. So therefore, Lord, make me do this." That's what it should be. Our prayer shall always be, Lord, let me be the person who want to proclaim the good news to poor people, right? Lord, let me be a person, and let us be a church that proclaims freedom to prisoners, right? Lord, let our church be people who gives sight to the blind, and let us set the oppressed free. Let us be a part of that, Jesus. Lord, would you make me like you? And every now and then, I have to remind myself that Jesus, that Jesus' life and his mission statement is my mission statement. His purpose is now becoming my purpose. And so my prayer changes from, Lord, help me to discover my own calling, to, Lord, help me to walk in the calling in which you already lived in. Lord, make me like Jesus. I tell you what, it's pretty ironic that I'm speaking this passage of scripture to you, because 13 years ago, I am standing here. 13 years ago, there was a church and there was a pastor that went out and believed this scripture, and he went out to a school that was a predominantly just really bad school. In fact, the graduation rate at my high school was 65% of us did not graduate. Our high school was on CNN News when I was there. There was a show on it and how bad it was, and teachers didn't want to teach there. It was one of the worst high schools in America. And there was a church on the side of a corner, and it wasn't a church that had glitz and glam, but it was just a church that believed Luke chapter 4. It was a church and a people and a pastor and a person and the lay members. They believed Luke chapter 4, and so they came to that school because they wanted to set some oppressed free. Never forget the day. It was a Tuesday after school. The church was passing out little papers, which I know was, now I know what they were called, gospel tracts. You remember those? There were gospel tracts, and it kind of talked about Jesus, and on the back of the paper, it had this prayer on the back, and there was this guy and a couple of them. They were out passing out to the school as we released for school. And so everyone just kind of ignored the people. We're like, oh, yeah, this is whatever, and we just ignored them. And so my grandparents were pastors, so I had a little bit of empathy for these guys, and so I just kind of heard his spiel for a little bit. Just want to listen to the guy. I told my friends, hey, let's just listen to the guy as he kind of just share his little stuff, and we keep going. He tells me his story. I honestly didn't even listen to what he was saying. He gave me this paper, but I listened to him, and so he thought that I was really all about Jesus. And so the next day, he came back and said, young man, I want to tell you more about God. I listened to him again, and I kind of shoved him off, whatever. And every day he would come, and he wanted to invite me to church. He would want to come out and just kind of share his story with me and share God's story with me. I just kind of listened to him and just not really paying much attention. Until one day I was in a real dark place in my life. I was in 10th grade. And I didn't really have many people to talk to. My grandparents were battling cancer at that point, and my mom, she was always there, but I just didn't want to really talk to her, and I really have anyone to talk to. I remember the man give me his number, so I wrote it down on the paper. I kind of found it in my drawer, and I just randomly found this paper with his number on it. I said, let me give this man a call. I gave him a call, and during that time, it was during a tropical storm in Miami, and in Miami, whenever it rained, especially in my neighborhood, the floods, the water, the streets were flooded to almost 2 feet, and so you don't drive in the flood simply because it would just destroy your engine unless you have a high truck, and so people didn't drive, kind of just stayed at home. So I called this guy. I'm hoping that he's going to pray for me on the phone, and I give him a call. He picks up, and I say, hey, I need someone to talk to. He said, I'll be right there. I mean, before I can tell him, no, you don't got to come out. Before I can tell him that, he hangs up the phone. And 15 minutes later, I have a knock on my door. Knock on my door, and this gentleman right here, elderly, this middle-aged white gentleman that came to my school, predominantly black school, and he believed Luke chapter 4. He believed it. He couldn't speak my language. He really couldn't relate to me. I really didn't understand the words that he was saying. And I just remember him showing up to my door. He had a yellow polo shirt on and some khaki pants. And his khakis were were wet because he was walking through the flood water to get out of his car. I remember that he said, come on, let's go back to the church. Took me back to the church, and he prayed for me. And on those steps that night, I received Christ into my life. It was only because it wasn't because there was some great moment. It was because of a church, and this is my church right there back at home, upper room. And it was because of a church and because of a pastor. He couldn't relate to me. He didn't know my language. He didn't really know me. He was in an uncomfortable situation, but he just believed Luke chapter 4, that his mission on earth was to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to recovery to the sight, freedom to the oppressed. And I don't know about you, but literally this is the Christmas story that Jesus has come into unlikely places, into unlikely people. And it's interesting that I'm standing here today speaking this sermon to you, teaching on Luke chapter 4, because someone else 13 years ago lived out Luke chapter 4. I just want hope to be born in unlikely places. It's my mission on earth. This is what I want to do. And a funny story, I was, that church is right off a major road in Miami. It's called US 1. US 1 is just one of the major roads in Miami. And in fact, US 1 is also, it's called Old Dixie Highway in Miami, Florida. And so, you know, my grandmother, she was also, she lived on that road on US 1. Literally, she lived right off the busway on Old Dixie Highway. Her neighborhood, they call it Across the Tracks. And literally, I remember growing up as a kid, we used to stand on my grandmother's porch and we'd look at all the cars used to fly by on US 1. My brother and I, we used to play name that car game, and we used to name the cars off US 1. Now, I just also remember I was born in a hospital called South Miami Hospital. It was right off US 1. And it's just a major highway. I remember one day we were doing an outreach, and we were doing some outreach on US 1. Like I said, a major highway, lots of traffic, lots of people go through it. And so we were doing an outreach on US 1, and one of the leaders came to me and said, hey, young man, this is when I was barely a Christian at this point. He said to me, young man, God's going to use you to impact US 1 one day. I kind of heard it. I listened to him and kind of just kind of moved on in life. And so obviously I graduated high school, went to college, and you know, we went through several different churches. I end up here at Cornerstone Assembly of God in Richmond, Virginia. And I remember we were my wife and I, we were on a plane ride a couple weeks ago, and I was reading an article about what's going on in our area, North Chesterfield. And I didn't know this, but US 1 is Jeff Davis. Boom. I had no idea. And it's interesting that I was born in that road. I found hope in that road. And now I get to give hope on that road. You know, I say that simply because our life is made with roles. Our life all has roles. And literally, we all experience somebody doing Luke chapter 4 with us. And I think it's our responsibility, right? It's our responsibility to go back to the same places and give hope to the same people and live out Luke chapter 4. And so this is what I want to do with my life. I want to live this out. And so the gospel is Jesus always gives us examples of how to live this out and how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And truly, just really quick, for a few moments, I want to look at a passage of scripture that I think is just truly powerful. I think that it gives us a window into the heart of Jesus. It gives us a window of how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And it gives us a window how that we can go out to the world and let them know that Jesus is for them, that hope can be born in unlikely places, in unlikely people. Let's look at it. It's a scripture found in Luke chapter 7. I want to look at it. Luke chapter 7. It's in your notes. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 11, it says this. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. And the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and he touched the bear, and they were carrying him on. And the bear stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up, and he began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were filled with awe. And they praised God, and a prophet has appeared among us. And they said this. This is one of my favorites. This is what I believe the Christmas story is all about. It says this: God has come to help his people. Right? And it says this, verse 17, then the news about Jesus spread throughout all Judea and all the surrounding country. This story takes place in a setting called Nain. It's really interesting that Luke gives us that detail because Nain is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. In fact, Jesus was doing ministry before this story. Jesus was doing ministry in a place called Capernaum, and great things were happening. In fact, people were getting healed, and people were following Jesus, and just awesome things were happening. But Jesus did not think that that was enough, so he decides to walk a 21-mile journey in the middle of nowhere, outside of his route, outside of his normal journey that people take, to a small little place called Nain. What is Nain? Why Nain? And I believe that seriously, that Jesus, like his birth, he goes to unlikely places and he goes to unlikely people. And so Jesus is found and he's on his crash course to Nain, and he goes to Nain, and the scripture says that there is this widow that is mourning the death of her only son. Now, this is an interesting statement because truly this is a tragedy for this widow. Because this widow is, we know she's already experienced death one time from her husband. She's still mourning, and now she's experiencing death not just once, but twice. The son. And the Bible says that it's her only son. And if you're kind of familiar with the culture of that day, you know, all the wages came from the husband. If the husband happens to pass away, then it was the son's responsibility to take care of the mother. In fact, so this lady has literally no hope at all. She's lost her husband. She's lost her only son, and now she has no one. And so all of her hope and all of her hope that one day that her family's name was going to carry on, that one day that she was going to have grandkids and she was going to get a hold of grandkids and her son was going to take care of her and make sure her needs were taken care of. And all that hope of that is in a casket. It's dead. This lady is carrying dead hope. Hopeless situation. And the Bible says that Jesus, he looks at this lady and he sees her pain, he sees her grief, and he just goes to her and he looks at her. Then he goes and he raises this man up from the dead, and he arises and he becomes alive again. And this lady is overjoyed and just thrilled with the situation. But I want to look at some details in the story that we can apply to our lives and how that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and how we can have hope be born in unlikely places and how that we can let the world know that Jesus is absolutely for them. And mainly my point of sharing this, these next few points, is that we can know as the church, this is what we should be doing as a people. Number one, I want to look at this. We are to go where the pain is and look for the hurting. It's so interesting that Jesus, he focused on the pain before the problem, right? And so this is, the first point is this, that the Bible says that when Jesus went to this place, he entered the gates, he looked at this woman. He saw her. Now, let me give you the setting, the background of the situation. In fact, whenever there's a funeral in that day, the whole town came out to her. So many scholars really predict that there was about 300 to 400 people out. Right? And in a funeral, they will have hired wailers. In fact, they will have hired people who were paid to cry. So it was a loud situation. It was a chaotic situation. It was a crowded situation. And in the midst of the loudness, in the midst of the crying, in the midst of the crowd, Jesus saw this lady. And I can't help but think of that pastor that came to my high school, and he saw all these issues of the school, and he didn't really look at the problem of the school because the school had lots of problems. But what he did was he saw me, and he saw my pain. A lot of times in life, we get so distracted with the problems of this world that we miss out on the people who are hurting right in front of us. He saw her. So much to the point that the writer, the Luke, is able to mention this. People notice that he saw her. He kind of stood still. It's like time stopped for him. It's like everything else didn't matter. It's like the crowds didn't matter. It's like the crying didn't matter. It's like the just dead man didn't matter. He wasn't even focused on this dead man. He was focused on the pain of this lady. He was looking at her. He was looking for her. And the Bible says that he went to her. Literally, we are to go where the pain is. And a lot of times in life, especially during the holiday season, man, that's the opposite thing that we want to go to. We want to go to broken people. We don't want to go to hurting people. We want to have everything to be all great. But we are to go where the pain is, and we are to look for the hurting. And Jesus saw this lady, and he looked at her. And it wasn't just a glance. It wasn't just a looking into her soul. And he saw her pain. He saw hope being dead. He saw a lady that was carrying hope, dead hope. And I don't know about you, but every day I see people who are carrying dead hope. We look at the world and the world that we're in, and it seems pretty hopeless and it seems pretty dead. And people we face every single day, and it's like God would say, I want to see. And this is our job as a church. This is why many people are planting churches all around the world and all around the U.S. And here's why. Because the church is the hope of the world. The Bible says the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. And this is why people are planting churches left and right. And here's why. Because it's churches. It's the church that's going to cause the growth. It's the church and the churches and new churches and more churches are going to cause the growth and the hope of God to be born in unlikely places. Jesus saw her pain, and not only did he see her pain, we are to have compassion towards the hurting. The Bible says this, that his heart went out towards her. And many scholars say that it was literally like his heart was squeezed, like the Greek words there, that his heart was squeezed. It was like he saw her pain, but not only did he see her pain, but it led to him having compassion towards this lady. And I love this simple definition of compassion by Timothy Keller. It says this: compassion is allowing others' hurt into your heart. Simply what it is, allowing other people's hurts into your heart. And man, I can't help but remember that pastor allowed the hurt of my life into his heart, so much so that he got in his car, drove through the flooding rain to pray with me and mentor me. And I just pray as a church, this is what we do. I pray as a church, number one, that we're looking. That we're a church that's not just so focused on what's going on here, but we're a go church. We're a gospel church. The first two letters of the gospel is go. We're a go church, and we're looking for the hurt and the pain, and we're going to it. We're not running away from it. We're not throwing a couple of prayers on it. We're not just throwing some money on it, but literally, we're going to it. We're saying, God, help us be a go church. God, help us go to where the pain is. God, help us not to focus on the problems of this world. Yeah, that's lots of problems, but God, help us to focus on the hurting of this world. Secondly, let's be people who have compassion for the hurting. Let's allow people's hurts to enter into our hearts. I tell you what, as Pastor Brandon heads up, I'm almost done. I tell you what, we were, Brittany and I, we were praying. You know, this holiday season, we wanted to just have a big give this holiday season. We wanted to be generous, not only through the Advent offering, but we just want to do something big for some people this holiday season. We were praying. And many people know that we're in a process of we want to eventually adopt a son, and that's kind of what we feel like we're called to do. But in the meantime, we signed up for this foster parenting class, and we took it. And so, you know, we told the foster care agency, it was like, hey, we want one kid, right? If you're going to give us a foster kid, we want one kid, and we want them to be older than our youngest daughter so they could be out of diapers, right? Amen? One kid out of diapers. You know, last Thursday, we got a call. I was in D.C. at a conference. Brittany texts me, said the agency called us. They may have a placement for us, for some foster kids. And I was like, well, cool, whatever. And she said that there are twins. And immediately, I was like, oh, no. I said one. One. The power of one. And then she said their ages. She said they're 20 months. So that means they're still in diapers. I said, oh, no. about 5 minutes later, it's literally, Holy Spirit has gripped my heart. Travis, that's your big give. That's the give. And so last Monday, we were able to have these little ones in our home. And man, they have changed the dynamics of our home. Big time. I can't say their names for the sake of recording, but this is what we want to live out. Someone gave me hope on US 1. Someone lived out Luke chapter 4, and I'm not sure how long these boys would be with us and what their situation may be like, but I just wanted to give hope to unlikely people. So it's interesting on the day which we were, it was, they have like this meeting where they meet our kids, we meet them, and just kind of see if it works out. And where they were playing, and one of them, the one to the right, he fell down and he hurt himself and bumped himself and started crying. And I got on my knees and kind of just looked at him. And it was interesting. We was looking eye to eye, and somehow I allowed his hurt to enter my heart. And I just couldn't let him go. I just couldn't let him go back to a broken situation. And I tell you what, we had a good rhythm in our home, man. We had our two girls. They were quiet. They were good. And no one warned me that boys never run out of energy. They never warned me that. They didn't tell me that. But I allowed their hurts into my heart, and they're in our home now. They're playing with our kids. They're in our backyard. They're just part of who we are. And it's caused a little stress and caused a little headache. But hey, man, we got one time to do this, right? We got one time to live out Luke chapter 4. We got one time to look at people and to see their pain and allow their pain to enter our hearts. And as a church, this is what we want to be about. We want to go to unlikely people and unlikely situations and hopeless people. These boys are 20 months old and their second time in care. They've been in several different foster care homes and several different situations, and it's a pretty bad situation in their life. And I just couldn't allow them to, I couldn't do it. Because the scarier part about Jesus, whenever he allows the hurt into his heart, he has to be moved with action. In fact, that's my last point. Whenever whenever we look at people and whenever we have that compassion and allow the hurts to enter our hearts, now lastly, we have to be moved with action. We just have to. That's just kind of the natural response, and you can't do anything else. And as a church, I want to be to a point where we can't do anything else but go to hopeless places. That we can't do anything else but allow their pain to be in our hearts and be moved with action and be moved to people. And honestly, with this Christmas season in which we get to celebrate and we get to have the Christmas story, I just pray and I pray and I pray that we may be a people, that we may go to places and go to people who are hurting, and that we may allow their hurts to enter our hearts. This is our response. This is who we are. We're the church. We're the hope of the world. Our voice should be loud and bold and clear that Jesus is absolutely for you. And hope can be born in the unlikely places. I close by saying this. I was praying the other day, and you know, we had to adjust our schedule because now we got 4 kids in the home now. So I got up a little bit earlier one day and spent some time with the Lord. And I was praying and I was seeking God. I said, God, just help us, give us strength as a family. Give my wife and I strength. My wife's in, she's been doing such a great job with these wild boys, and she's doing great, and it's been fun. But I was praying, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, Travis, this is your big gift for the holiday season. I just want to ask you, just for you to pray that for your family, pray that for your homes. We're talking about this great commission home thing, and I think it may be cool that if you can just pray during this holiday season, Lord, how could we let the world know that Jesus is absolutely for you? no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through. And even if it just kind of ruined your schedule up a little bit, even if it kind of caused a little bit extra stress in your life, it's okay. I just want to encourage you all to allow hope to be born in unlikely places. Amen. Could we pray? I want to pray. There may be some people here today that you may feel like, man, Pastor Travis, that's me, man. I'm far from God, and I feel like I just need hope. I feel like I'm like this lady, like this widow. I feel like I'm carrying my hope, and my dreams are dead, and my hope is dead. I feel so distant from God. I feel like I'm disqualified from God's grace. I'm disqualified from Jesus in my life, and some of you may feel that right now. If that's you, you want to say, you know what, I need to rededicate my life to Jesus today. I want to allow him to touch my dead dreams, my dead hope, my deadness in my life. I want it to come back to life. Then maybe some of you, you may disqualify yourself from Jesus and you need to rededicate your life to God. Or some of you, you may need to give your life to Jesus for the first time. We're not going to ask you to come to stand up or even come forward, but this so I can know who's there so I can pray for you. Can you just slip your hand up just really quick and just put them down so I can know if that's you today? Amen. Amen. Also, I just want to pray for those. You may be here today and you may say, you know what, Pastor Travis, I want to be a part of that prayer. I want to be a part of Luke chapter 4. I want to join in with the church. I want to join in with the series, and I want to join in with the movement this holiday season. I want to make sure the world absolutely knows without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is for them. If that's you, can you slip your hand up really quick? Amen. Amen. I want to pray for you, but before I pray, I want you to take a few moments just to have a quick prayer with God and just ask God, what can we give? What can we be a part of this holiday season? Even ask him about the Advent offering that's coming up in a few weeks. God, what could we give? Ask him about your time. God, how can I give my time this holiday season? Jesus, we thank you for this time, this moment. And Father, we pray that you may touch us, Lord. Lord, help us allow hope to be born in unlikely places, Lord, and help us to let the world know that Jesus is for them. He's not only for them, but he's rooting for them. And he's cheering them on, and he's hoping that they can come back home. So help us to live that. Help us to be bold. Help us to be have a clear voice to the world, God. I just also pray, God, that you may allow us to step out of our comfort zone, step out of our normal way of doing things. And God, help us just to reach out to people who need Jesus. Help us to love on people, Lord God. We love you, Lord. And we give you all the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.